Congregation, the text for tonight is from Luke 2, mainly the verses 10 and 11. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. So far. Shepherds rejoicing in the Savior, frightened shepherds, rejoicing shepherds, and hasting shepherds. Shepherds rejoicing in the Savior, frightened shepherds, and rejoicing shepherds, and hasting shepherds. It was night. It was dark. And some shepherds were watching the flocks. They took turns. They had shifts. So I see some fires and the sheep and the watchmen, the shepherds, making their rounds. See if all the sheep were all right. Because there was always a danger that wild animals, wild dogs, pumas, lions would attack and take those sheep away. Or thieves would steal them. So they had to keep their eyes open and watch very closely. And they can't afford sleeping, they must stay awake. O shepherds, keeping the watch at night. What do you think of that occupation? Shepherd, that's a noble occupation. Nothing wrong with that. Absolutely nothing. David was a shepherd, and Moses was a shepherd, and so many more. But those days of the Lord Jesus, that was different. People really looked down on shepherds, did not trust them. They think they're all dishonest. The reputation is very low. They did not trust them at all. And I read in Jewish books, even in the Midrash, they're on the same list as sinners and publicans. So, low reputation. The lowest caste of people, the lowest class in society. So very low income people, and a little scruffy, and not so civilized, I would say, with some dirt under their nails. They didn't care about those outer things. Kind of a rough type of people. And they're watching the sheep. And yet, although we agree with all this, that those shepherds were kind of not the most highly esteemed people in society, I think there are reasons enough to believe that they also had a tenderness in their heart. I personally believe that they were God's people. There's some reason for that. I'll explain. But they're rough people, but yet God-fearing people. The lowest class, and yet very privileged. People looked down on them, but the Lord looked at them in his favor. They were his people, forgiven, his dear ones, you know. The Lord also works, and I almost would say mainly works, often works in the lower class of people. Not many nobles, not many rich, right? So why do I believe that they are God's people? Well, who else was made so familiar with the birth of the Savior? Who else was told about John the Baptist and Christ? Elizabeth and Zacharias and Joseph and Mary and Anna and Simeon. They will be out of place if they will be unconverted. It will be so strange. They're all converted people, and all of a sudden, not them. The first witnesses. It will be kind of strange. And unto whom else have angels appeared? Angels of the Lord sent from heaven to talk to them personally. And did the angel or did Joseph explain matters to them? No, they right away got it. What it was about. They clued in very quick. And they hasted, they really made haste to go to that manger. There was something there, I believe. And the Lord said also that there will be great joy to them. Great joy to them, to you is born. Very personal. And also think, my sixth argument, think of the witnesses of the resurrection. And the Lord Jesus rose. God-fearing women. You know, I don't want to make a big point of it, but personally I strongly believe low-class people with a new heart. Undeserving, and yet. And they're watching by night. And then something happens. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. They were so afraid. So suddenly, lo, behold, they did not expect this at all. It came just completely out of the blue in the dark night. Lo, the angel of the Lord, probably Gabriel again, the archangel, appearing again now to them. To whom else did Gabriel? The archangel appeared, right? He came upon them. He met with them. He came close to them. He was standing next to them, of maybe a little in the air, speaking from a higher place. He came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about him. The glory of the Lord, that is his presence. The glory, that is the word that is used for the glory of the Lord above the ark. That's God's face. God's presence, God's light, God's special presence. So the light shone round about them, the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid, they were trembling, shaking. You know what was happening? Of course, if an angel would appear unto us, we would be frightened as well. And why is that? And they were sore afraid. Why that way? Why does the Lord not teach them a little more gentle, just by not frightening them so much, as just appearing very calmly and friendly, instead of having that light shining in their face, and so suddenly, why not gradually? We often see it in the Bible that the Lord shocks people out of their comfort zone. That something happens suddenly, like suddenly the angels appeared as well. It's shocking. The Lord does not only like to shock people, but we also need it. Because we so easily sleep. Even God's people do. And they need to be reminded of things. Often in a shocking way, by accidents, by diseases, by loss of people, by losing friends, by so many callings the Lord can bless, by shocking people out of their sleep and opening their eyes. And so also to those shepherds. Although they were God's people, I believe, but the Lord yet teaches them again. Because also God still needs to be shocked out of their comfort again. Otherwise they fall asleep also, as we know of the disciples. And the angel said unto them, fear not. How kind. Fear not. You don't have to be so afraid. Because the glory of the Lord shone around about them. And they needed to be shocked in a sense, but the Lord also tempers that and very quickly tells them not to fear too much. Because if they would fear too much, they would yet perish. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. But they're frightened not only because the Lord makes room for His grace, they're also frightened because the Lord is making it clear that a new dispensation is coming. A new dispensation of the kingdom, of the covenant of God. Like the glory of the Lord also shone round about Moses when he was on the mount, on Horeb, indicating a new era, a new time period. And so the Lord also now makes very clear that something new and fresh is going to happen, a major event, when the glory of the Lord comes. I'll read it to you. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. Fire. Impressive. God appearing. God making known that He is God after all. Or think of Exodus 33. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and shall come to pass when my glory passes by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. Well, the glory of the Lord is God Himself. The Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. We also read it in 2 Corinthians. But we are with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So at the end times, there will also be the glory of the Lord appear. And you'll face also God's presence when He comes on the clouds. Or they're frightened. But it's not only a fear, it's also in the hearts of God's children sadness. It's not only trembling, it's also longing, it's also feeling guilty, it's also feeling, God, what did I do to the Lord? I don't deserve His grace. It's not only being fearful, it's a fear with longing, a fear with, oh Lord, be merciful. It's fear with grieving as well, and sadness. Some people only fear, only frightened, and they are shocked, and not themselves anymore. But something else is missing. The sadness is missing. They don't see against whom they have sinned, a good-doing God. So frightened shepherds, you know, I won't mind if you will be frightened a little bit more. When you feel that pinch and feel how serious this life is and feel that you must appear before the Lord, that you cannot stand before Him, that you tremble. You know, even the devils tremble, right? They believe and tremble. Should we not tremble? We can sit so easily and have our Christmas dinner, having no fears whatsoever. It won't hurt us if we would have a little bit of fear, of seriousness, because life is serious. Let's not close our eyes for that. Life is short, and anything can happen anytime. We need to be prepared to meet our Maker, prepared to meet God. Frightened. And yet, the Lord speaks to them. And the angels said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings." You know, they should not fear too long. And not don't fear too much. How long are you fearful? Maybe you're just terrified. Maybe it's horrible in your life. Maybe you can hardly continue on anymore. So fearful you are. So worried. So anxious. You see mountains everywhere. You feel your sins. You've sinned against the Lord. And you wonder, is it not too much that you have sinned against Him? You fear. So it's okay to fear. It's all right to tremble. It belongs to the servant of the Lord as well, but not too much. It can also stand in the way. And the Lord says, on this evening hour, to those trembling ones, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings. Let me compare this with another piece in the Bible. Fear and then kindness. Revelation 1. It pictures the Lord Jesus Christ at first. And he had in his right hand 7 stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp 2-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shining in his strength. The sun shining in his strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, "Fear not. I am the first and the last." See, it is one of those patterns, how the Lord often works, shocking people, and they fear. I said, "No, you don't have to fear so much. Fear not." And he laid his hand on him. Those are very special things in the life of God's people that sometimes feels like that. Sometimes in church. And they say, "Do I belong here? Can I be saved yet? Have I not hardened my heart? Is it still possible for such one like me?" And you just tremble and are sad and overwhelmed. And the Lord says, "Fear not. Fear not." And that feeling as if he lays his right hand on you and speaks so kindly and personally to you that you don't have to fear so much. You're feared enough. Fear not, for behold. Pay attention to that. Behold means pay attention, exclamation mark. Don't forget this. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. I bring you good tidings, not only tidings. I bring you a tiding. It's one thing. I bring you a good tiding, very special tiding. Not just a good tiding, a tiding, a special tiding, a good tiding of joy. No, of great joy. So a good tiding of great joy. The Lord is asking attention for that also tonight. And the Lord is saying, you should think about this and hear this. That's what he preaches. A good tiding of great joy for such a terrified people. Well, that is special. Behold, I bring you. Who is you? Who is bringing you good tidings of great joy that shall be to all people? Let's start with the last line of verse 10. Which shall be to all people. What do you make of that? That joy absolutely will be the part of all people. All people rejoice. They shall rejoice in me, all people. You say, well, that doesn't make sense, right? So everyone, every possible individual over the whole earth will have the joy? Is that what it says? Or not? Which shall be, not that we preach to, no, it shall be the portion of all people. Well, he tried to unlock this. People. There's a word there, people, in singular, that refers to only one people. Not people in general, that's not a word. It's the word used here, laos, for one people. And the Lord says that good tiding of great joy that shall be to that people, to that entire people. And that's why most translations have an extra word in there. And that's also meant here. It's not in here, but it's meant here. The word the. I bring you good tidings of great joy will should be to all the people. To all the people. It shall be the portion of all the people of all of my people. So that's what it means. Just look at the commentaries of Hendrickson and others and look at other translations. If you think that's out of the ordinary, you'll see it. They all say the. The people. Now, I don't deny that underneath is also the preaching of joy to everyone. I don't object to that. That's biblical. To reach out to everyone, to all the people of the whole entire world, and say, I have something good to mention to you. I preach you about the good tidings of great joy. But you can't say to just an average person, and you shall have that joy. You preach that joy, you offer that joy, you show that joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's underneath here. I agree with that. But the heart of it is this. The Lord's saying, I will make my people glad. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. And that good tiding shall be to all the people, not to some of my people. All of my people rejoice. They all will receive it. They all will fear. They all will tremble. They all will have hope. They all will have through faith, and they all will rejoice in me. Sometimes with that unspeakable joy. To all of my people, the Lord Jesus paid the price for that, to make his people happy. Good tidings, a great joy. This also ties in with other pieces of the Bible. Think of verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Goodwill toward men, it's also a difficult translation. Goodwill toward men, whose goodwill? Some say people's goodwill. No, really? It's God's goodwill, it's God's pleasure. So glory to God in the highest, the angels sing, and on earth goodwill towards men. But you know, many say you should translate this way. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, unto men of God's pleasing. Men the Lord is pleased with. Even some liberal translations have that, to my surprise. That is about the people the Lord has a favor upon. A chosen people, God's people. Having said that, I repeat by renewal that it is the gospel preaching to all, like we have heard this morning, right? That stable, the door of the stable is open, and that manger is low, and nobody is of too much low degree, and anyone is welcome. But now we have a look at the different side. The Lord says, I will make my people happy. I will make them rejoice. Rejoice in what? Or they'll rejoice in his Savior. Because they felt not saved. They feel that I cannot save myself. I tried. I tried to read the Bible and tried to live a good life and I tried to think about those things more often and I tried to be a better person and pay more attention to my family and I tried hard and it's a disaster. I can't get myself out of that miry clay. I can't myself get myself prepared for God. I can't save myself. I tried. And this Savior says, you know, I do it. I save a people. The Savior is born. And that's the good tidings also for this evening hour. That we should not try it ourselves, but seek salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the joy, to find it in him. And he will work it in the hearts of his chosen ones. But he offers it to all. A Savior, to save from sin, to save from yourself. To be saved and delivered from yourself, to be saved from wrath, saved from hell, saved from Satan, saved from the law, saved from the wrath of God. Be saved. You need to be saved. Are you unsaved yet? Sitting so quiet in church and not saved? How can you live that way? Life is so short and so dangerous and so empty without God, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no real joy. Whatever you try in this life, it doesn't really bring you joy. Only the Savior can bring you joy. Seek him. See the real joy. What does it say? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, right? A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Christ the Messiah. You know what Messiah means, right? Messiah means anointed one. Anointed one, yes, you remember. The Lord Jesus had three offices, and he was anointed to be the king, and anointed to be the priest, and anointed to be the prophet. He's all that. So he is really equipped and able to save the people from their sins. He can do it. And he is as willing as he is able. Well, Alexander Comrie said even stronger. The Lord Jesus is 1,000 times more willing to save us than we are willing to be saved. And he is the Lord. He owns, he possesses, he reigns, he controls all things. The Lord. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. So that joy is not carnal, but spiritual. that joy is not fake, but real. That joy is not temporary, but lasting. That joy is not small, but is great. It's unspeakable. And we read about words like full of glory, full of glory. So much glory there is in the joy. Because God's love for a sinner is amazing. Amazing love of God. But the joy in such an amazing love, to be loved by the Lord. But the joy in having the promises fulfilled. But the joy in the work of salvation. But the joy in that peace in your heart. The peace with God. Peace with circumstances. Peace in the deepest sense that you have everything. The pardon of your sins and righteousness. So again, this joy is preached to all of you tonight. And you are a fool. We are. But we are a fool if you look away from that joy and look for a different joy and look at the soap bubbles of this life and be happy with something you have to hand in very soon again. And yet this joy is not only preached, not only offered, but the Lord will give it to his people. He will give it. That does not depend on their faith and does not depend on their repentance or anything of their seriousness. He's going to give that. Here on earth, piece by piece, sometimes in church and they read the Bible at home, then they are thinking about the work of God at the Lord's supper table maybe, and after death eternally in heaven. And a real, real joy, unspeakable and full of glory. Unto you is born. So let me differentiate here. If you repent and truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then I may emphatically state that he is born for you. Unto you is born. He came on earth to save you. Unto you is born. He came to save you. Really. He has saved you. He will keep you. He will rescue you. He will have you in heaven. So you maybe can let go of things time and again. But the Lord says, I'm holding on to you. But again, this birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is preached to all. Let me quote also from the previous chapter. It ties in with this. Luke 1:17. It's about John the Baptist. He shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and disobedient to the vision of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. See? That's the same people. Same people as in our text. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Who is that? You have to admit, you can't say anything else. That is God's people, it's God's chosen people. He prepares them to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. John the Baptist came for, and the Lord Jesus came to save that same people. He will have that people. Or think of Luke 1 verse 14. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. See, that's the same. Thou shalt have joy You know, you may feel I belong to that lower class of shepherds. Maybe you feel spiritually that way. You say, spiritually I feel like a low class person in society, in church. But you know, the Lord especially looks at those people. The poor ones, the needy ones, the ones who can't make it themselves, the have-nots. So that's God's eternal good pleasure. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. That word babe, I have said it before, that word babe is the same word as is used for John the Baptist before he was born. Remember? The babe leaped for joy in his mother's womb. So that's a baby. That's a child. Before the child was born, it was a baby already. So that means that it makes no sense to state that a babe becomes a baby at birth. No, it's way before that already. So abortion is killing babies. That's what it is, killing babies. That's what abortion is, killing persons, babies. And the same word is used here. Wrapped in stolen clothes, lying in a manger, that is something special. Lying in a manger, really, in stolen clothes. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying. The heavenly host, what is a host? What is the Lord of hosts? Oh, if you read it in the Bible, right? The Lord of hosts. What is that host? The Lord of hosts. A host is a lot of people. A host of people. Or a host of angels. And the Lord of hosts is the Lord of a host of angels. Of an army of angels. There's a host of angels surrounding them. And praising God, saying glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace. That sin cursed will, peace, goodwill towards men, or to men of God's good pleasure. So the angels are chanting or singing without or with a melody. Glory to God in the highest. And they did so with joy and awe. Because this is really worthy of all glory, worthy of all praise. That the Lord Jesus was born. That God sent his only begotten Son to seek a people, to save a people from their sins. And it's to God's glory and to our joy. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. See, that glory of God and the joy go together again, also here. Those angels sing God's glory, and those shepherds rejoice and agree with the glory of God. You know, that will heaven be like. From the heart, with all your might, rejoicing in God, having enough, and to drink of the fountain, and to keep drinking. And the more you drink, the more you honor him, right? And a mother has cooked a meal, and you eat only a little bite here and there, because you don't really like it. You don't honor her. But if you eat more and say, eat more? Can I go for seconds? Is there more of that salad? Is there more of that meat? Is there more of this? You see her smiling, right? Big smile. They like it. Feel so good about that. And the Lord has a people that likes it. The Lord has a people that loves it. that loves God and loves Christ and loves salvation, and the more they love it and the more they rejoice in it, the more glory the Lord has. Glory to God in the highest, in the highest, in the highest heavens, and more, and on earth peace. On earth peace. Is there peace on earth? What type of peace is this? Especially peace with God. Because I don't know if you're aware of this, but without grace, you're not at peace with God. Without grace, you're not at peace with God. Something wrong. Something not sitting well. There's a distance. There's a kind of a war going on. God is frowning on you, also keeping you and inviting you, but also frowning on you. And you keep your distance as well. There's no peace. Or have things changed? The Lord Jesus came to make peace and to bring two parties together again, that they will fit again and be reconciled together again. The Lord doesn't only forgive. You know, you can forgive and say, oh, it's forgiven. But it's never the same anymore. No, he gives reconciliation and peace. Peace with God. That the taste of the peace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ is without comparison. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass, as the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to them, they said, talk to each other, no shepherd. Said to one another, let's now go. Let's now. Let us now go, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. Our third thought. It's still dark, still night. Still see some fires there, and the sheep and the shepherds stand there by themselves. Now the angels have disappeared and gone back to heaven. And it's, let's go now. Let's now go. Let's not wait till tomorrow. Let's go now. So they gather from that, that they believe the angels, that they believe that he was born. They believe that. They really believe that. That's why they say, let's go. You would say, of course they believe. Because an angel appears, right? But don't you know examples in the Bible that angels are speaking and people did not believe them? Zechariah is also spoken to by an angel, and he questioned him and said, can be, I'm too old, my wife is too old, can be. There's doubt, unbelief, straight unbelief. But those shepherds believe it. That's God's grace, I realize that, but they believe it. So when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, they are on one page with each other, let us now go even unto Bethlehem. All of them, apparently, that whole shift, let's go to Bethlehem and see the thing which is come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste. They did not take the time. They did not go slow. Let's go. Yeah, let's go now. Where are you? Where are you? Let's hurry. No, they didn't have to say that. They altogether went with haste. They ran. As quick as possible. Like Zacchaeus, who was in the tree and look at the Lord Jesus. And he had to make haste to come down right now, to make haste to follow Jesus. Or think of Mary herself. She hurried to the hill country to meet with Elizabeth. There's a passion in it. There's something of a zeal in there. Something like, I can't wait. I just can't wait. I have to go there as soon as I can. That's not only an urgency. It's also the love. I have to see that. I have to see it quick. I can't wait. You know, if you can wait, if you can go slow, that tells us something of who you are. Not really interested, just halfway interested. But those shepherds are really completely involved in this, and they love to go, and they go with haste. Well, that is the power of God unto salvation. The power of God. The zeal worked by the Holy Spirit. Then nobody can stop you anymore. You have to read that Bible. You have to go to church. You have to bow your knees. It's on your mind. It occupies you. It obsesses you in a sense. Well, that's the work of the Holy Spirit again. Not only the beginning work, also in continuous, the Lord gives that work again and gives his Holy Spirit. And they came with haste and found. They found Mary and Joseph, but especially the babe lying in a manger, they found him. And they have adored him, I'm sure. And it looked at him. They want to see him, the Savior, the Christ, the Lord, the long-expected one. And now they see him with their own eyes. That's so special. Not too many people have seen that. They have seen his human nature. So they have received a confirmation. He was born. He really was. And that gave them so much courage. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They were so filled with that, they could not be quiet about it. They were hurrying also to town again and talking about it with anyone. Or think of Psalm 73. It's good for me to draw near to God. So they also drew near to God, to Lord Jesus. It is good for me. It's so special, good for me to draw near unto God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all thy works. Goes together. God's nearness and then declaring his works. It's still important to seek that same Jesus. As I said in the cradle. That cradle is still set in front of us all the time. The cradle of the Bible, right? He's in there. And he is to be found there in his names. Not physically, but in his names. In his states, in his natures, in his offices, in his gifts, he's there. You know, God's children will make haste, and they must make haste again. But they also must warn you and invite you. Make haste. Make work of it. Don't delay. Don't procrastinate. Don't say tomorrow. So often people say, tomorrow I will, or next week I will, or someday I will. No, today. If you hear his voice, harden not your heart. And wrestle at the throne of grace. And in your prayer say, Lord, I do not let thee go until thou bless me. For the Lord has said in his word that they that seek him early will find him. And seeking early does not mean early in your life. Well, can also mean that. But they that seek me early will find me early. That means seriously, earnestly. That's what the word means. To really seek him early. Even elderly people can seek them early. They can say, well, my young time, the time of my younger age is gone. No, you can still seek early. Early in the morning, right? But just early, just fervently seek him. And the people, they listen to them, to those nobodies. No shepherds, they are not. They're just shepherds, they're nobodies. Nobodies, who's listening to them? But those nobodies, they talk to everybody about somebody who is able to save anybody. Hear it again? Those shepherds are nobodies. We're not so important people. And you don't feel important yourself either. Nobodies. But they talk to everybody they could talk to about somebody. The Lord Jesus Christ, able to save anybody. And all they that heard it wondered at those things. Was it told them by the shepherds, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Because this is only the beginning. The birth of the Lord Jesus is the beginning. Much work has to be done yet. He has to accomplish everything yet. It's just the beginning. Just the birth. Now he has to live and obey. Do the work and preach, do miracles and suffer and die, arise. But she pondered those things. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as was told unto them. So they went home, glorifying God. And it doesn't say here, but I'm sure, joy to all that people. With joy, glorifying God, praising the Lord for all the things that they had heard and seen as was told unto them. They did not rejoice in themselves, in their Bible study, in their seriousness, in their own faith and believing. They did not feel good about self, but they felt good about him. Congregation, you all have our place in society. Maybe you have a shepherd's place. That's fine. It's fine to have a shepherd's place. But if you may have the tender feet of the Lord from that shepherd's place, just talk to everybody as a nobody. Just talk to everybody about that only name given among men by whom we must be saved. Amen. Lord Almighty, may it please thee to bless thy word. And Lord, I know those hopeless cases. Those people who don't know it anymore. Those people that are in darkness and frightened and don't even feel like shepherds, even less than they are. Feel so unconverted and unreconciled and have tried to save themselves and it doesn't work. Oh Lord, show them the Savior in the manger. Whosoever believeth on him, may they look upon that serpent lifted up in the wilderness. They that see him will be healed. Or give that faith, that seeking of salvation outside of self in another. Not finding Jesus in your own heart, but finding Jesus in the scriptures, in the promises. Lord, go with us the rest of this day, this week. Give what we are in need of. them traveling, them going to the hospital, the child in the hospital, all things are in the hands of the Almighty God. Bring us also safely back to thy house on Sunday. In Jesus' name alone. Amen.